Crime Curious is a true crime podcast that takes an in-depth look into real cases through the lens of a trained investigator and former prosecutor turned judge.
If you are sensitive to expletives, anatomical descriptions, and accurate descriptions of crime scenes, this podcast may not be suitable for you.
Have you or someone you love been a victim of a crime that's still unsolved? Crime Curious has teamed up with one of the top private investigation services in the Indiana and surrounding area. If you have listened to us long enough, you know that we do not seek out services or products that are meaningless to us or hold no real value. So you can trust us when we say that Corbett Investigations comes with decades of experience you won't find anyplace else. Corbett Investigations is run by a former homicide commander of one of the country's most successful homicide units, has put over 400 people in prison for homicide, handled over 1,100 death investigations, and solved 33 cold case murders. To be real with you, Mr. Corbett had a really difficult time telling us what we should highlight in this segment because he does not like to sound like he's bragging. Solving crimes has been his life's passion, and he has never done it for the accolades or recognition. He has a whole team behind his services that help him be so successful, as they specialize in things like bloodstain analysis, ballistics, crime scene reconstruction, and forensic pathology, just to name a few. When you contact Corbett Investigations, you talk directly with Tim Corbett. He is hands-on with every case and can travel anywhere that's needed to get the job done. Corbett Investigations prides itself on honesty, truth, feet to the ground, real investigation work, and the strength to stand up to whatever is in the way of solving the crime. Corbett Investigations specializes in complex homicide cases, sex offenses, and criminal investigations that are old and new. Tim and his team have a reputation for finding witnesses and information that others could not. Although we hope none of our listeners ever need private investigation services, if you do, we recommend contacting Corbett Investigations and mention this segment on Crime Curious for a free consultation. Contact Tim Corbett today at 574-229-8115. You can also check them out on Facebook at Corbett Investigative Services, Inc. or their email, tim@tcorbett.org. That's tim@tcorbett.org. Thanks for listening, and now on to the show. Welcome to Crime Curious. I'm Charnel.
I'm Megan.
Hi, Megan.
Hi, Charnel.
And this is, let's shake our gree-gree. Here we go. This is a Crime Curious redo. We are redoing a case that we covered about 100 episodes ago now, but I didn't like the audio quality. I had originally recorded it with our friend Jason. So if you've been with the show for a while, you know
you've heard this.
This is a redo. And so
you also have updates on this case that didn't exist at the time it was covered.
Correct.
So you're going to get brand new information.
That is. Yes, very true. This is the case of Ignacio Jorda Gonzalez, better known as Nacho Vidal.
Oh, good God.
Nacho Vidal is a Spanish pornographic performer, director, producer, writer, and we can't forget camera operator.
Oh, my God. And he doesn't do all of those at home, ladies and gentlemen. He is a professional.
He is a professional, and he listed all of those things on his own self-proclaimed Wikipedia. Anyway, so Ignacio Jorda Gonzalez was born in Barcelona, Spain.
Barcelona.
Yes. His nickname is Nacho, and it's a common nickname for the name Ignacio. When he was young, he moved with his family to Valencia, where part of his family originated from. His family was wealthy, but unfortunately, they ended up losing their money in the 1987 stock market crash.
Ouch.
Nacho was 14.
And forced into porn.
Nope, but he did quit school to work to help his family, so we're getting there,
okay.
But not at that time.
And this time it was legitimate employment.
As a teenager, he was in a punk band.
I don't think that pays the bills.
Not so much. He also was a boxer.
That could.
And he enlisted in the Spanish Legion.
They're military.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he doesn't have a terrible upbringing. He went through some hard times, but he's doing some legitimate things to try to become an okay person.
Yes, he's trying. And y'all, the ups and downs, pun intended, that I experienced while researching the crimes of Nacho Vidal.
Adulting is hard.
You guys, I like almost got seasick doing this research. And when I was going to do this reboot, you know, I made sure that there wasn't more. Well, that's how I found that there's a conclusion, right? So I wanted to just make sure there wasn't more information that I maybe missed the first time around or whatnot. But nope, it's still the same as last time. And some of those things can't be unseen. Do not Google him unless you
Charnel,
want.
Charnel, did you see a penis?
So many of the penises.
Were they all his or were they other penises?
Lots. Just, I mean, their names weren't written on them, Megan, so I'm really not sure who they belong to.
Probably a good thing. And also, did you use the incognito tab on your phone?
My God, I was using my computer.
I got nothing. It's just
awful. In the headlines.
The things we do for the public in our research. Subject ourselves to having to look at male genitals. You owe us all an apology.
The headlines even are actually enough to make you blush. Like, I have one quoted here. Are
Read
you ready?
One. I want to see.
If you have small children listening.
Oh, shut it off.
Because this headline is awful. But it's everywhere about him.
We warn you if you're sensitive to anatomical descriptions. I do this in true crime and accurate descriptions to turn off. This is not for you.
Right. But if you have kids listening right now or sensitive husbands, just skip for like 15 seconds.
Give it to me. I want to hear it.
This is a common headline. Nacho Vidal is a heavyweight in the pussy slamming scene.
Oh my goodness.
That's the most mild statement I could find that I could read on air and still feel comfortable with myself as a human.
I didn't know that particular profession had like headlines. Like, is this a publication? Is this just a computer, like an internet release?
Yes, a lot of articles about him and his career, especially after he gets arrested for murder.
Oh yeah, that'll do it.
So also you can't find articles that don't brag, whether written by him, a statement by him, or whatnot, but apparently he's got 10 inches of raw masculinity and he wants everybody to know about it.
And I'm sure that the terminology raw masculinity was used in describing that particular length of measure.
No, that was me trying to be delicate.
I appreciate that.
As delicate as 10 inches can be, Megan.
No. Nobody really wants that. I'm not even getting into this right now.
Maybe on a Patreon episode, but not on a general
public.
Not
today.
If you want the real us, join Patreon.
Right.
In 1994, he started his pornography career doing live sex shows with his girlfriend, Sarah, at that time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, so, kind of like OnlyFans exist today.
Yeah.
They're going to make some money.
We're talking live. Yeah. And here I am worrying about, you know, saying too much into a microphone, and there's people just out there wild and doing it live. No cares in the world. They also, though, had a director. All right.
Oh. Mm-hmm. So somebody off the street or a good friend?
Well, he was watching some of these lives and was like, you know what you could use? A director. I could direct this. So he meets this director. This director was the director of the Barcelona International Erotic Film Festival, Jose Maria Ponce. Okay.
So he's legit.
And that is who introduces him to the porn film industry. And he became a protege of Rocco.
Rocco?
Rocco? Did I say Rocco? Sorry. Yes, it's
Rocco. I'm not going to pretend I know this porn star's name. And if I did, I wouldn't tell you that I do.
Of course not. But his last name is Cifredi. So
sounds Italian or Spanish, perhaps. I don't know.
Well, listen. Rocco,
sounds really foreign.
Rocco takes him to Hollywood in 1998. Okay.
Great.
He's mostly known for his rough sex misogynistic genre, which I don't love.
Okay. So, yeah, I wouldn't be into that.
Well,
he's going to have a following. I bet it's predominantly male.
He has a website. So, of course, I had to venture onto there, take a little peek-see. Because, you know.
You did?
Of course I did.
Were you offended?
I am dedicated to this podcast and the research that I do.
I love you so much right now.
I took a peeksie.
She looks so, she's saying this so innocently.
And I have my hair in pigtail
braids. She literally looks like Pippi Longstocking, and she's holding her braids like comfort items while she's speaking.
It does feel like that. I'm trying to just go back to my innocence.
You look like a 14-year-old trying to deliver a dissertation on sex education to your mom.
Yeah.
That's what you look like right
now. How's it going so far? Because my ass is sweating.
Right. I'm going to be honest with you right now. My palms are a little damp.
Yeah. So according to his website, Nacho Vidal has performed in at least 10,000 scenes and has won 18 international awards during his 26-year-long career in the adult entertainment industry.
He got paid for a lot of erections.
He did. And you know, every other chump out there is just getting them for free.
I know.
Imagine that. I mean, this is an entrepreneur. Besides being a performer, he also has an online shop which sells various sex toys and lubricants. His particularly popular best-selling item is a 10-inch penis-shaped aromatic candle that comes in three colors.
It does what?
It's a candle. It's a 10-inch penis candle. And quite frankly, I'm shocked that none of our Patreons have sent us one yet.
Oh my God. Is it his member? Because you know, they
have a... I don't think it's a mold.
Clone a Willy. And if you clone the Willy...
The fact that you know the brand name cracks me up.
First of all, we read this. Before you guys all think poorly of me. We did a brain bath episode with the Clone a Willy thing. And I read it to you and it was very vulgar.
It is funny.
And so you could totally put candle wax in that and make perfectly normal candles to be
sold. I'm sure that he probably has made a mold to regularly produce these candles. Because, I mean, like I said, he does like to brag about, you know.
That's 10 inches.
All the 10 inches.
That candle.
That's an inch for every finger that we have.
It's a lot of candle. It'd burn a real long time.
Yeah.
Burn a real long time.
Some might say like 10 hours. At least.
Perhaps.
Maybe more. 10 days.
God, I hope they blow it out in between uses.
Yeah.
Don't want you to light a fire. I could do this all day. We've got to give the people what they're asking for.
Despite mostly performing in adult videos, Nacho Vidal has appeared in some other Spanish films and TV shows that are not in the pornographic genre.
He tried to go legit.
He did. He appeared in an episode of a Spanish action comedy show called Simuladres. I don't know. Sorry, guys.
Okay, it was Simuladres.
Something like that. He also had roles in the 2002 thriller The Impatient Alchemist and in 2006, a comedy called Nobody is Perfect. Except for him.
I mean, parts of him.
That is according to his IMDb page. His own.
Yeah.
Yes. He stated that he's open-minded. He is heterosexual in his personal life. But he had his, and that he had his first daughter with a beautiful Venezuelan woman named Rosa.
Rosa.
Okay. So he's a dad. He is open about, he will do any type of scene that is required of him for his career.
Participate and take your daughter to work day.
He cannot. No, he better not. And, but in his personal life, he is heterosexual, and that is how he had his daughter.
Okay.
All right.
Is that to insinuate that some of his pornographic material would insinuate otherwise?
Much of it is. Yep, okay. Yep. On May 31st, 2005, he announced his retirement from the pornography industry, and he married Colombian model Francesca James.
I wonder if he got a watch.
What do they send you for
when he retired?
Years in service in porn?
Well, you know, they probably don't wear a lot of jewelry. It's an occupational hazard.
You know, and here the rest of us are engaging in that same activity, and we don't get to retire. We don't get a watch.
Oh, I'm going to retire.
Well, I mean,
at some point.
Someday it'll happen. When right? I'm dead. When I'm dead right. Is the day I retire.
Yeah, you got a bunch of 90-year-old women walking around the nursing home going, hey, I didn't retire. I don't know why you guys are putting me in here.
Right. They moved to a mansion that was previously owned by his family, located in the small town of
Valencia.
Mm-hmm. And they actually recovered it after his family's financial losses. So he was able to regain that, bring it back into the family. And him and his wife decided to start a family there. They did, however, separate just 6 weeks later.
It's not a long together.
Not a long, barely long enough to start a family, yeah. Actually.
We're going to settle down here in my childhood estate and start a family, and then 6 weeks later.
Just like on SpongeBob. 6 weeks later.
It was intentional.
No, and then he decides to return to the porn industry.
I mean, sometimes you just love the work that you do. You feel that you're an inspiration to others. And
you're already producing the erections.
It's a gift.
You might as well just make money.
He got his first boner after not working and was like, I just missed out on 10 grand.
I missed this.
I missed it.
I miss it. Only a few months after retiring his announcement, he goes back in. All right.
I'm a 12-year-old boy. I have nothing.
Forgive me if I said that they divorced. They actually separated.
Okay.
But they did not get a divorce. So did I say divorced or just separated?
No, you just said that they were no longer together, basically. Okay. Or they lasted a full 6 weeks.
In 6 weeks in, they separated. He goes back to the porn industry. They do actually stay together. They have two children. But they do eventually divorce in 2015. So they're not together today.
But things are not going well in terms of his retirement.
No.
He still ends up having a family with her, but he is not going to be retired. He's going to pound some more of that pavement.
That's right.
Yeah.
Just
pounding it.
Body parts to the ground. Just pounding it, doing the work. Yeah. Yeah. It probably does roll down. I'm assuming. I'm not sure. Vidal seems to be one of those performers whose there's no level of success is like good enough. He just kept wanting more, and he got involved in a lot of like get rich quick schemes that didn't really pan out.
Like pyramid type stuff.
Mm-hmm. So,
or just bad investing.
Just lots of,
you name it.
Yeah, it's just.
Like a penis candle company?
There's that. There's also just some that seemed to skirt the, instead of skirt, let me use the word flirt. Flirt with the boundaries of the law.
Oh.
And kind of coming pretty close to just doing some unsavory business.
One of my favorite.
More unsavory.
One of my favorite quotes is a Mae West quote that, and I apologize if I'm butchering this, says, "It's okay to bend a few laws now and then as long as you don't break any."
Oh,
and
yeah.
That's what he was doing.
He was.
He was skirting it and flirting it.
He was bending back far enough to kiss his own ass for some of these endeavors. So,
or bending forward, which he could have been paid for video-wise.
I don't think you'd have to bend that far.
Right. I was just thinking.
You wouldn't have to be that flexible.
No.
Anywho, so he had his first brush with the law in 2012, and him and his sister Maria were actually arrested in Barcelona with an involvement in money laundering and tax evasion.
Oh, money laundering is not skirting and flirting. That is actually against the law.
Well, and he was working with Chinese organized crime. So that's not good.
That's not good. Gonna get you killed.
And actually what happened was the Spanish police raided over 100 businesses in Madrid and Barcelona suspected of running money laundering and tax evasion rackets in connection with the Chinese mob. And his sister and him were amongst 80 that were detained. So
it's a bad day.
It was there for a lot of people. 80 people, 100 businesses, 80 people. Hundreds of police were involved in executing the search warrants of 120 properties belonging to these people. They were laundering money from anywhere from prostitution to extortion. Yeah. While prosecutors sought to hold Vidal in jail during the investigation and the subsequent trial, on October 19th, 2012, the National Court Judge Fernando Andrew accepted the defense's contention that Nacho Vidal is not a flight risk because he signed a contract to participate in a reality show for the next 3 months. So since he signed that contract, he has to show up for that reality show.
So he's not a flight risk.
He's not a flight
risk. He's going to follow his bond conditions.
That's right. So they let him out. Mm-hmm.
You know, in terms of logic and making a bond consideration, I would highly consider making the same choice. I'm sorry, you do what for a living, sir? Let me show you.
Well,
you're free to go.
And what?
I'll see you back here for court.
Yeah, but it didn't matter. They did release him, but then later the charges against him specifically were dropped. And he put out a public statement thanking everyone for their support and said, I've been released without any charge.
Okay.
So there we go. Now,
in money laundering scams, that's often because they were able to get like who the big guys were.
Yeah.
And they let the littles go.
Well, and it was his movie studio, Nacho Vidal Productions, that was implicated in this tax evasion and money laundering.
It wasn't me. It was my accountant.
Mm-hmm. So he was, of course, one of the most highest profiles of people involved in this sting that was arrested. Okay.
Famous porn star.
Because he and his sister allegedly were helping the ring by issuing false invoices from his movie production company.
Oh.
But he was released.
Was his sister? Was his sister released too?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the whole company that was implicated.
I do think that they probably just had bigger fish to fry in that whole situation. But anyway, in February 2019, a Spanish newspaper stated that Nacho Vidal was HIV positive. And later that year, in a 12-minute YouTube video, he clarified that his test was a false positive. What he does have, he found after visits to a series of doctors, is reactive arthritis, a highly...
I'm so sorry.
And he described that as a highly painful, sometimes chronic or lifelong condition. Yeah.
You don't really confuse HIV with arthritis. I mean, potentially, I guess, is it an autoimmune, that particular arthritis diagnosis? Because there are, like, JRA, like rheumatoid arthritis. That's an autoimmune disorder that could have been, what, confused with HIV? I'm here for all of this.
This inflammatory syndrome is often triggered by a prior treatable infection, which may itself resolve or you know, be healed.
Like an STD?
Yeah, exactly. And in Nacho's case, he explains that it was repeated infections by STDs such as chlamydia and gonorrhea contracted during his sex work, each instance having been quickly treated and cured, but because of the disease, he cannot work and is seeking disability benefits.
Hazard pay. He should have requested hazard pay.
So now you know.
I am not putting this there unless you pay me extra because I know where that's been. That is hazard pay.
Yeah. So now because of all of the risks of his work and all of the STDs and the treatments for them, it's now caused him to have this inflammatory disease. Yeah. So now he's going to seek, in 2019, he was seeking disability benefits for that.
Because he can no longer perform?
Right. It's painful. It's reactive arthritis.
Can't you just lay there and sweat, Nacho? I mean, that thing's going to do the work for you.
He is an actor. He must... We will see his accolades
later. Can't
make
candles anymore?
We will see his accolades later. Okay. He fully immerses himself in the role of being the vigor.
I cannot wait to hear the list.
Now that I've told you about all 10 inches of his life, I want to tell you.
Don't even omit the snort. Leave the snort.
I will.
Okay?
I will not edit any of out. I'm going to tell you little snippets about his early dip into the criminal world. Let's get down to the brass balls of the real reason that I'm covering this case.
There was a murder involved, you told me.
Well, there was a death.
There was a death.
Mm-hmm.
There's the rub.
There's the rub. Here it is.
I quoted Shakespeare, but you can take that however you wish.
Right. Sickos. No, I'm just kidding.
These are perverts.
As early as 2016, Nacho Vidal was doing shamanistic rituals, something that was done regularly in his house with his family.
That's why he had the candles.
Yeah. It doesn't matter what they're shaped like. No. I think the gods like it, actually, when they're shaped like a vigorous erection.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm.
Or a beautiful flower.
Right. During these rituals, Nacho Vidal and anyone that he was performing these mystical rituals on had to inhale a hallucinogenic vapor from the venom of the Sonoran desert toad.
I remember the toad venom.
Yeah.
It all just came back.
This is the Venom of a Toad episode.
I remember.
So Nacho and his family commonly inhale these vapors at their home. It's a normal ritualistic behavior for them. The toad secretes a toxin to ward off predators that, when dehydrated, contains psychoactive compound known as 5-MeO-DMT, or just DMT, which has hallucinogenic properties, according to Rolling Stone.
Oh, and you got to believe what they say in Rolling Stone.
I do.
Every I do, too.
They're a good publication.
It's fact-checked.
In a 2016 video.
By rock stars.
By rock stars. Yes. In 2016 video on his YouTube channel, Nacho Vidal talked about the many benefits of the ritual, which he said helped him reconnect with his soul. I am not knocking these type of mystical rituals, just so you know, before we get to what happens here.
Right, but we're not advocating for the use of toxins or illegal substances to do that.
So I just keep imagining this man's soul giving him like deuces trying to escape the toad venom and him being high as hell, thinking that he's reconnecting with it when really what he's reconnecting with is this poor toad soul that's confused as heck. Like, where did I get this 10-inch dick and why does everything smell like Vaseline in here?
That poor toad.
The poor toad soul. Like, stop inhaling it.
I love that that's what you resonated with, is the toad's soul and all of that. And I'm thinking of this guy thinking he's having a euphoric spiritual moment when what he's really doing is killing a lot of brain cells.
Yeah.
Yeah, your
his
brain.
His soul is sitting up there.
Shaking its head going, motherfucker, you're feeding me toad venom.
For sure.
Toad venom.
The soul has disconnected. Like, I will take no part in this human body. And meanwhile, this toad soul is what? Why am I here?
Why do I have this thing?
Oh, my God. I'm telling you, that's what happened here.
Oh, I see it. Karmically, I see it.
He described himself as a mentor that was guiding people through a process of change with his shamanistic, mystic rituals. Okay. So, does anybody else just picture like a marbled tiled room with candles everywhere while this is happening?
Yeah, but they're all shaped like his penis because of what you told me. That's all I can picture.
And seriously, the dick candles are everywhere.
It's killing me.
It's a circle. Yes.
I feel like other people who are truly like shamans or Native Americans who do engage in these, or Native people even, not just in America, who engage in these type of rituals are sitting back going, this mother.
Yeah, I agree.
This is not how any of that's supposed to go. Right. You've perverted all of this. That is not how our religion or our spirituality works. And you just associated us with 10-inch candle penises.
Yep.
Like, and possibly dead people.
And claiming to be an expert on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel all of that for all of those people.
Well, July 2019, a man named Jose Luis Haddad, well-known fashion photographer, sought the help of Nacho and his family through these rituals on July 28th, 2019, at a house that did belong to Nacho Vidal. Now, Jose died as a result of inhaling the vapors from the venom of the Sonoran desert toad in Nacho Vidal's home. So, because of this, an 11-month investigation ensues over Jose's death, of course.
Yeah, because Nacho literally assisted him in finding his soul.
Right, by giving him a toxin, a high dose.
He poisoned him.
He did, and he is not a medical practitioner. He's really doing shamanistic rituals without actually being a shaman, which is not okay in the shaman realm, by the way. But he also has no way of measuring this toxin against this man's weight, right? Doesn't take a medical history to see if there are preconceived medical conditions that maybe he shouldn't take this hallucinogenic.
I'm sorry, okay. Charnel, but do you know what I hear, what goes through my legal mind away?
I know.
Is involuntary manslaughter.
Yeah. Well, he is arrested June 4th, 2020, after that 11-month investigation on manslaughter charges in relation to Jose's death.
Yeah, because it's just taking an action that in and of itself on its face is so negligent that it would likely lead to a death. Or and, serious and injury. And I think if it
the biggest problem here is that there's claims that he has done this for years, since 2016, with no problems.
So he's going to argue he wouldn't have known that there was a potential risk of death in giving the substance.
Because no one had died yet.
No.
Yes, exactly. Also, there were two other individuals that were arrested at the same time, a family member and an employee of Vidal who was present at part of this ritual.
Understandable. Okay. They're all allegedly or potentially guilty of the manslaughter if they were participatory in it. And again, have probably participated in rituals before.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh.
And I do want to caution here that there's not a ton of English articles about this particular part of the case and what there was, what, you know, had to be translated and stuff. So as we get into like charges and things like that, just know that I translated as best as I could. Some news stories actually said that the death was from a heart attack and the crime that was committed was not properly calling in medical assistance in 911 when they all realized that his life was in danger because there were physical signs turning blue, seizing, that sort of thing. Okay.
Sometimes, I guess I don't know whether toad venom is a controlled substance there, but delivery of a substance causing death is another potential charge here where we are.
Yes. Oh, hold on, because I think I do get to that.
Okay.
Yeah.
The reason that comes to mind in terms of those charges is we have a lot of really terrible human beings out there that as they're using substances they deliver to addicts, because that's their business, then the addict who is with them is ODing and they just leave them there to die or like quick drop them off and take off. Yes. And so those people, I think, are kind of like the scum of the earth.
Yeah, absolutely.
In my opinion. And that causes me concern here.
But that is truly what he did.
He did leave him dead.
Yeah. He was going through turning blue, convulsing, all of that.
And he did
not call for help.
Mm-mm. So he let him lay on his table or chaise lounge.
Floor or the ground.
Yes. And die.
Yes.
Okay.
March 2021, the Spanish authorities officially charge him with reckless homicide.
Okay.
According to court statements, Nacho Vidal had acted as the director of the ritual and had previous experience in taking the toxin. Vidal allegedly supplied the toxin and failed to properly control the amount of that the victim had inhaled during the ceremony. Now, Vidal's lawyer, Daniel Salvador, told CNN that the death was just a tragic accident and that his client was not responsible. Vidal himself said that he was very sad over the death of the man who inhaled the fumes of the venom in what he called a regrettable accident. So the court does dismiss the proceedings against the cousin of Nacho Vidal and the other person, the employee, saying that they had no criminal responsibility because they didn't have control of the situation. They were not directing the ceremony. Nacho Vidal was directing the ceremony.
And they were following instructions.
Mm-hmm.
In a religious, well, we'll call it a religious because I don't know what else it might be, ceremony that has never before caused any type of a death.
Right. Also known as the Colorado River toad, the Sonoran Desert toad, which is an amphibian, releases the venom called 5-MeO-DMT, as I mentioned earlier.
That's its chemical breakdown.
It is.
It's a every compound or substance like that can be broken down into what we call a thumbprint, and you know exactly what it is, and that's its thumbprint.
Yep. It's about 4 to 6 times more powerful than the better known DMT. So when it's mixed, it's what happens is it stimulates the production of serotonin, which is a neurotransmitter that causes feelings of happiness.
So is he just getting fucking lucky that people hadn't died before?
I think so.
And this time he gave a dose.
4 to 6 times more powerful than the actual known controlled DMT. Yeah.
Wow.
So the investigation.
Where is he getting these toads?
Well, not from legal means, and that was another part of the
problem. Yeah, that's my other concern. Mm-hmm. It's not like he's going to the pet store hanging out down in the creek.
No. The investigation revealed that Jose died due to an adverse reaction to the substance after participating in the spiritual or mystical rite, consisting in inhaling the smoke from the combustion of the toad's scales. Nacho directed the practice as he had experience in doing this before, and he was the one who provided the substance, although he denies practicing shamanism. Why? Because you can't practice shamanism when you are not a shaman. And so
that, he was afraid that community would eat him alive.
Well, and I think that not being recognized as an actual shaman could lead into more of the recklessness from the reckless homicide. Despite being the one controlling the situation, the investigation showed that he did not measure the amount supplied. He failed to anticipate the risks that were involved, and he took no precautions. So the judge has to consider his actions to have been irrational, reckless, and dangerous, and points out that there was no first aid kit or defibrillator in the house, nor did Nacho Vidal know how to correctly perform CPR. He actually tried to very inaccurately, very briefly after Jose was long gone, perform CPR, and it was a pathetic attempt. So the judge also was considering how parts of the substance, the DMT, are considered a medicine. And so you're issuing medicine, a controlled substance, right?
Yeah.
Illegally.
Delivery of a controlled substance that causes death.
So in March 2001, after a court hearing, Nacho is found guilty for involuntary homicide.
Okay.
So from reckless manslaughter to involuntary homicide. And according to Section 142 of the Spanish Penal Code, there was roughly, he could have been looking at between 1 and 4 years. Okay. There's a 10-day wait for sentencing and for appeal, which he did do.
That's not a large time frame.
No, it's not.
Not long. Not a long time frame.
It's large. Not a 10-inch long time frame. It's a 10-day.
I'm so sorry. Wait. I got tongue-tied.
It's okay. But I did find it funny that he got a 10-day wait for his sentencing and appeal, which he does appeal. And the next information that I could find, y'all, and remember, it is hard for me to locate and to accurately translate, but from what I could determine is that March 2023, so 1 year ago, a judge in Valencia kicked the involuntary manslaughter charge to the curb, citing insufficient evidence, and he's a free man. I don't know if he served those 2 years, you know, from 2021.
Oh, I'm sure he was sitting incarcerated. I'm sure, while
he was appealing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And then the higher court decided that there was insufficient evidence to support the conviction and overturned it. Usually it would be sent back, though, for a new trial. But as we've stated before, if the prosecution chose not to retry the case.
Right, right. No, he is a free man. And his freedom came at the same time as his new show on cable was launched called Nacho, detailing his life as an adult film star. So if you feel so inclined, you're welcome to check that out. And I guarantee you it'll make you uncomfortable.
This is a current thing he's doing.
Yeah.
He is still.
Yes.
He has a show.
Sure does.
Showcasing his adult film career.
Hopefully he's not getting his disability benefits if he can still work.
Maybe he's not working. He's just doing a show. He's not doing
that work. But yeah, but you still can't. Excuse
me. He's doing a show detailing all of his sexcapades. But if he
receives compensation for that, you have to report that against your disability benefits.
Well, one would think.
In America.
This guy flirts with the line.
That's true.
He flirts with the line. He's within inches of the law.
Can I tell you some of his, he's within 10 inches of the law. He can't get any closer than that without hitting things. I feel bad
for this poor man's family who was poisoned.
Poisoned.
And he just wanted to get some clarity in his life.
He did. He was just wanting to reconnect with his soul, get some cleansing and things like that.
He died.
It went so wrong. So very wrong. And then, you know, around their loved one's murder, death, is all of this perversion because of the person who was implementing the ritual. Ugh.
Yeah. It's.
So rest in peace, Jose.
Rest in peace, Jose.
But do you want me to tell you about some of his accolades? Because he's listed them on his website.
Oh, please. Please give.
And
give
I just them thought you all should know what kind of awards are out there that you're missing out on if you're not in the film, adult film industry.
I wonder if any of these were used to show his good character and success.
Well, I would imagine, if I had to take a guess, I'm going to say that it was probably the foreign male performer of the year.
Well, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
And an expected award.
Possibly the 2001 best three-way sex scene.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot here. These are real awards. 2013, he got one for just best scene. He just won best scene.
Don't know what kind. Don't you want to know what it is?
He's a Hall of Fame inductee, too, just so you know.
Hall of Fame of what? The Porn Hall of Fame?
Yes.
The adult Sexual Industry Hall of Fame?
The Adult Video Hall of Fame? Yes. I'm telling you, how about the most original sex scene winner of 2008? Best actor.
All right. Mm-hmm. He's legit.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've ever seen the acting in some type of pornographic video, you know how good that must be if he won the best actor.
And in 2004, he got best couple sex scene. And in 2004, also best group sex scene. I wonder if those were at the same time.
I don't think that would be fair at all.
He's won best actor a couple of times. Aren't they acting? Is that an act?
I think it's an act.
Seems real. Just kidding.
It does.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, that's exactly what all of my experiences seem like.
That is not meant to be an instructional scene. That is not medical. There's nothing to indicate that any of that occurring is true.
No, most or possible. Definitely not. Yeah, he's won best actor a lot. So I think my favorite is truly male performer of the year, though. How do you I am the absolute best male performer in the adult film industry of 2002.
And if you don't want to know for yourself why, I'd like to sell you a candle.
Yes, exactly.
They come in pink, blue, green, purple.
How about, I almost forgot this one. I should end on this. Best sex scene from the Brazilian Butt Festival in 2000.
Of course there's a Brazilian Butt Festival.
There sure is.
I believe it.
Maybe they have butt candles there.
I don't.
Big ones.
I don't want to even put in Google butt candle.
Or Brazilian Butt Festival.
I think that would probably bring you something a little bit more PG, but I can guarantee you butt candle will not.
It will not.
It will not.
Mm-mm. Stay away from that, people. Stay away from that.
Or use your incognito tab and report back.
Write us.
Let us know.
Oh, wait a second. He did get the 2000 NIFA Award Best Actor in the Buttman's Anal Divas International Film Group Festival.
The culmination of a career well spent.
Accolades.
I'm just
jealous.
Saying.
I don't have all of those accolades.
You know, I'm not jealous.
No, are you okay with your accolades?
I just don't have any of that kind of stuff hanging over my head.
Me neither. Would you like me to bathe you, even though I feel like his accolades maybe were a bath, but it made us dirty. But this one is just cute.
You're going to give me wholesome now?
Kinda.
You're going to give the people wholesome?
I'm going to give you a wayward 450-pound pig named Kevin Bacon.
I think I've heard of Kevin Bacon. Please tell me about Kevin Bacon.
Well, he escaped. And he was caught on a lot of people's home security cameras, living his best life.
Where is Kevin Bacon from?
Kevin Bacon is a 450-pound porker that wandered from his pen and moseyed down the road where he was caught hamming it up on a family security camera. So where is this located? Hold on. Milwaukee. No other than Brighton, Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm. I love Milwaukee. I love Wisconsin. Go Pack.
And what do you do when a large four-legged neighbor visits your home on a Friday night?
And you invite him in.
Well, Mr.
Give him a PBR, Milwaukee's best.
Mr. Molgaard said my wife started feeding him right away.
You're goddamn straight she did.
It's Kevin Bacon, man. He's
and you're
hungry.
From Milwaukee and you're the Midwest and we're kind.
It's cute because he says that's what she does when every animal comes to our backyard.
She feeds
She's
it.
She's like, it's a pig. She feeds it.
Of course she
it.
Did. Uh-huh. I love everything about this family and that pig.
Well, the couple watched Kevin scarf down some apples, rice cakes, tomatoes, and carrots. And then it was time for them to figure out who their new friend belonged to. So the family lives in Brighton, south of Milwaukee, and is not a farmer. But there are farms nearby, so he called a farmer friend who not only knew the pig's owner, but had his phone number. So they went ahead and called up the owner and said, hey, Kevin Bacon's here. Would you like to come get him?
Yes, yes, I would.
Isn't that cute? That's the brain bath. He returned home.
I love Kevin Bacon.
Assuming Kevin Bacon, I'm going to tell you, I'm just going to hope that Kevin Bacon was a pet of the farmer and not our bacon.
Right, I know. If he was, I'm not actually that sad about it because you know how you and I both feel about large pigs once they're not cute tiny piglets anymore.
Right.
But it is a wholesome story of Kevin Bacon the pig.
I had to wrap us up on a wholesome story.
Yeah,
so.
you started me with a big hog and you ended me with one too.
Sure did.
Thanks, Charnel.
You know me so well. Exactly. Oh, my God. On that note, we hope that you keep listening.
Oh, God. Keep it curious.
Not that curious, though.
And until next time, bye-bye.